Thank you. Thank you, sir. Amen. If you take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to Deuteronomy in chapter number 10, please. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Thankful for the opportunity and the privilege to be here. Thankful for this church and their kindness, your hospitality, your concern. Just a warm, friendly church, and I'm thankful for that and the fellowship that we have. And it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is what unites us. He is what brings us into fellowship. And I'm thankful for Him, the gospel, and for the truth of God's Word. Here in Deuteronomy chapter number 10, and I hope it's your prayer this week, as we mentioned earlier, that before we collect your faith promise cards, that everyone will say, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? And here in this passage of Scripture, we're going to read a verse and very similar to that in verse number 12 in Deuteronomy chapter number 10. This is what the Lord require of thee. And let's read this very quickly. And if you're able to, can we stand as we read the Scriptures? I would appreciate that if you're physically able. If not, the Lord understands that. In Deuteronomy chapter number 10, and in verse, we'll start reading in verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven, and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is. Only the Lord hath a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray you bless it now. Lord, I pray again that you bless this preaching time as we look at your word. Teach us, instruct us. May the Holy Spirit just have free reign in all of our hearts, and please put a hedge about us. Lord, I pray you protect us from any distractions the devil would love to send our way. And Lord, may your Son be exalted. Lord, I pray for my church at home. Lord, I pray you bless their preaching hour. God, I pray that, Lord, you might use the speaker there. Lord, I love you, and thank you, Lord, for loving me. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. The Bible says in this passage, and if you remember, there is a rich young man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament seeking eternal life. And the Lord asked, you know, what was his thoughts? And he quoted this passage of Scripture here that we just read. And I believe, as we read this passage of Scripture, that it should be all of our desire, if you're saved today, to serve the Lord our God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Because truly, He is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. And so, how do we do this? How do we serve this God? Well, we have to realize, as we've already talked about this week in verse number 14, that everything belongs to the Lord. And I know we've already said it, but it shows it again in Scripture. Let's point it out again. The heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God. The earth also with all that therein is. Everything belongs to God. That is the foundation of everything as we enter this week and close this week now, and that of missions. Then in verse number 19, we see something that I want to preach on this morning. In verse number 19, it says this, love ye therefore the stranger. Love the stranger. You know, missions is all about loving people that you've never met.
Amen.
Loving people that possibly you will never meet on this earth. About loving the stranger. God instructed His people here in this passage to love the stranger. And you and I, we too need to love the stranger. And if you'll give me a few minutes this morning, I want to expound on this thought of loving the stranger. When you collect these faith promise cards, it's going to be a result of your love for the stranger. The love for the person that you've never met. The love for the person that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. So just a couple of thoughts. Number one, what is the meaning of loving the stranger? Well, to think about this, let's go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, what is the meaning of loving the stranger? In Ephesians chapter number 2 and in verse number 12. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse number 12, and then we'll read verse number 19. Verse number 12 in Ephesians 2 says this, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Verse number 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now, Paul, in describing a stranger here, says that they're strangers are those who are not familiar with the love and the grace of God. Those who have no hope without God. Those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, they have no hope without God. They are strangers right now. But let's look back at that verse in verse 12. At the time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Verse 13, but, boy, that conjunction when found in the Word of God, it ought to all the time catch your attention. The wages of sin is death. If that verse stopped right there, we'd all be in trouble. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You understand something from this passage of Scripture. Every one of us at one time, we were strangers without God, without hope in this world. But, amen, now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I'm thankful today that I am no longer a stranger, but I have been made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, we need to keep preaching the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The Bible says we have been redeemed in 1 Peter chapter number 1. We've been redeemed with not with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was foreordained before the foundation of the world. I am thankful today to be able to tell you that Jesus Christ made that sacrifice. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary so that you and I can be made free. Free from the curse of sin. Free from the bondage of sin. I am thankful today for salvation. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Don't you love that passage of Scripture? You know, I'm thankful for it. And, you know, I've always, and it makes very nice songs that you can sing about the Lord building your mansion for 2,000 years and how wonderful it must be. But the fact is, He's not been building mansions for 2,000 years. Those mansions were already there when He gave that verse. In my Father's house are many mansions. You say, then what needed to be prepared? It was the blood. You understand the mansions were already there. In my Father's house are. Amen. My mom taught grammar for a long time. You might not be able to tell it by my speech, but I promise she did. All right. My mother taught grammar for over 40 years. Well, if those mansions are there when Jesus said that, that meant they were already there. That is a present, right? Present verb there. They are there. So what had to be prepared? you understand, and I don't want to go deep into this for time's sake, but there were those who died before the crucifixion, before His death upon the cross. They were held there in paradise. When Jesus died upon the cross, we understand the Word of God teaches that when He arose from the grave, He led captivity captive. He led them out. You remember whenever He first, and I, you know, this is just Travis Burke's thought, so if you disagree with this, I won't argue with you, all right? But I believe, remember when He, there in the garden, when Mary was crying out and looking and thought He was the gardener. And when she realized it was Jesus. And by the way, she realized it when He spoke her name. I'm so glad He knows our name.
Amen.
And His sheep, they know His voice. And then you remember, she went to grab hold of the feet of the Lord Jesus, but He said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended." Just my thoughts on it. I believe He saw one of His children that was needing encouragement, encouraged her. Because next time that you're going to find the Lord, He's with the disciples. And it isn't long before Thomas is sitting there, and He encourages him to touch Him. Mm-hmm. "Touch me. See the scars." Now, what happened between that time? I believe, this is my personal thought, that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended and presented His holy, spotless blood before the throne of God.
Amen.
Hebrews says, by the way, that that blood is in heaven and still speaks on our behalf.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand now, to be absent from this body is not to be in paradise, but to be present with the Lord. We now go to heaven. We have access to heaven because the blood has been applied on our account. And I'm thankful. You understand, without that shedding of blood, there is no salvation. Without the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would have no hope. But thanks be to God that His Son died for us upon the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for loving a sinner like you and me. So much that He would die for us on the cross. We were strangers without hope, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for the blood today? Aren't you thankful in verse number 14 for the peace that He gives us? You understand that our sin separates us and God. Before salvation, we had a problem. We were sinners. We had no access. You understand, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Before I, in faith and repentance, turned towards the Lord Jesus Christ and believed what He did for me on the cross of Calvary, I had no hope and I was an enemy of God. Before salvation, you were an enemy of God. But I'm thankful today that we have peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. That has been taken care of. And now, there in verse number 18, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." I can and will one day go to the Father's house. I'm looking forward to that day.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that opportunity and privilege to spend an eternity in the Father's house.
Amen.
And it's only because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." At one time we were enemies of God. We were strangers. But now we are God's child. If you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, if you've never seen yourself as a sinner, and understand this, that in order to be saved, you must see yourself as a sinner. That I am a sinner. I have fallen short. I have sinned. I deserve death. I deserve that lake of fire. And you understand that I can't die for you and you can't die for me, because we're all in the same boat, my friend. We're all sinners. But there is one who is no sin. There is one who is perfection. He came, Jesus Christ, put upon Himself flesh, and He went to the cross and died for our sins, so that we do not have to be strangers, but we are fellow citizens. We are inheritors of God. We get to spend eternity in the Father's house. And you know what, by the way? We're family. We're family. Now, I understand this is not my church. I am a member of a body over in Goshen, Ohio. But you all are my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
And I'm thankful today that we can fellowship, we can rejoice as family. But you understand this morning, the Bible says to love the stranger. When we walk out those doors today, and maybe there's someone here today, you're a stranger. It doesn't mean I don't know your name, but you're not part of the family of God. You have no hope without God in this world. Christian, we're to love the stranger.
Amen.
We're to love the stranger we heard about this week. And all these mission fields and these flags and what they represent, there are thousands upon thousands of strangers. We are to love the stranger. You see the meaning, but then I want you to see number two, our motivation. Would you go back to Deuteronomy chapter number 10? Establish the meaning for us in Deuteronomy chapter number 10. And now in verse number 19, we saw the meaning of loving the stranger for us. And now in verse number 19, I want you to see the motivation. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and in verse number 19, the Bible says, love ye therefore the stranger. Love ye therefore. Now, anytime you see a therefore in the Bible, you need to ask yourself, what is it therefore? Love ye therefore the stranger. So, what is our motivation? We love the stranger, therefore. What is our motivation in loving the stranger? Go back in verse number 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods. Amen. And Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute judgment of the fatherless and widow. Look what the Bible says. And loveth the stranger. Let me tell you a first reason why you ought to love the stranger. Because God loves the stranger.
Amen.
You ought to love those without hope. You ought to love those who have no salvation today. You ought to have a burden for those who are lost and dying across this world without any hope and any peace today. Enemies of God, you ought to love them today because God loves them.
Amen.
God loves them. Bible says, you know, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loves you. He loves me. He loves those who are without Christ today. He wants to see them get saved. Here as He's speaking and these verses are given to the Israelites that they are to love the strangers that would come amongst them. And God said, I love them. He would go on. You can know this about names that I can mention such as Rahab. Such as Ruth. They were strangers, but God loved them. They're even found in the lineage in Matthew 1 of the Lord Jesus Christ. If God loves the stranger, you and I ought to love the stranger.
Yeah.
I've learned this a long time ago in my Christian life that the things that God loves, I ought to love.
Amen.
The things that God hates, I ought to hate.
Amen.
And God loves that lost person. God loves. He has a burden. You read in the scriptures as He looks over in Jerusalem and He weeps over Jerusalem. Why did He weep over Jerusalem? Because He loved them. He saw them wandering and going astray without hope. He had a burden for them. Love the stranger because God loves the stranger. Love ye therefore the stranger. Secondly, verse number 19, our second motivation is this. Love ye therefore the stranger. For ye were strangers. Can I give you a second reason why you ought to love the stranger? Because you were a stranger too. And aren't you thankful that there was someone who loved you enough
Amen.
To tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
So thankful. There were people in my life when I was born into a Christian home, and I thank God for that. The very first words ever spoken to me, I was told, I don't remember. Minutes after I was born, my mother held me before my dad was even allowed in the room. My mom looked down at me and said, "Travis, Jesus loves you."
Amen.
And I'm thankful that I grew up with that message. I'm thankful for a mom who would tell me the gospel. I'm thankful for a father who would teach me the gospel. I'm thankful for a grandfather who would show me the gospel. And I'm looking at you today saying, I'm thankful for every Sunday school teacher who taught me the gospel and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. I'm thankful for every teacher I had in school. I am thankful for every godly influence that God placed around me that showed me and showed me that I needed to be saved. At the age of 14, I knew I was a sinner. And I went and humbled myself. I went and I spoke to my dad. I walked in his room. I said, "Dad, I have a problem." He said, "What's that?" "I need to be saved." And there at 644 Maple Hill Drive, West Carrollton, Ohio, in the back bedroom, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Amen.
Knowing that I was a sinner, but that Jesus died for me.
Amen.
And I'm looking at you today saying this, that we need to love strangers because there were people who loved us when we were strangers. And if it weren't for their love, if it wasn't for a pastor who taught me every week, if it wasn't for Sunday school teachers who kept pointing me to the Lord, if it wasn't for a mother and a father who prayed for me and taught me and loved me, I would still be a stranger today too. You know what a lost and dying world without hope needs this morning? It needs some people that they've never met on a different continent, who they may never see on this earth, to love them. Love ye therefore the stranger. Love them therefore. Why? Because God loves them. Love them why? Because you were strangers. Love them therefore. Maybe a third motivation. Ready? It's good for us. See what he means? Good for us. Look up at verse 13. To keep the commandments of the Lord and the statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. Do you know it's good for us to love the stranger? So what are the benefits of me loving a stranger? Well, I'll just give you three real quick. Number one, when you love the stranger, you'll realize what life is all about.
Amen.
This life is not about us building our own wealth or building our own name. This life is about doing the work of God. It's about loving people. It's about eternity. It's about eternity.
Amen.
It's about getting ready for that life that is to come. It is about telling others about the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's good for us to love the stranger. Because if we're not investing in loving the stranger, then I'll tell you who we're investing in. Ourselves. You study fasting in the Word of God. A lot of times people always just say fasting. Well, I can't eat, right? That's just what, unfortunately, because there's a lack of knowledge on fasting, that's just what people think. But when you study fasting, you have directions in the Word of God that you are to put aside some things in your life, but you are then to invest in the life of other people. As you are fasting, you are to be serving people. And you're to be doing things for others. You know why? Because part of getting closer to God is getting and investing in people. In others. Because our problem, and the reason why fasting, I think God gave it to us, is because sometimes we get so focused upon ourselves, what we want, what we desire, our goals, our ambitions, that we forget that there is a greater cause. We forget that He is God. We forget that we are here to reach other people. So it's good for us to love the stranger because we are reminded of what life is all about. And we are reminded, secondly, that love is all about giving. What love is all about. For these strangers, they were instructed to feed them, to clothe them, to take care of them. For us, in loving the stranger, it's good for us because, again, we're reminded what life's all about, but what love is all about. Love is giving. Do not say you love without a heart to give. For God so loved the world that He gave. Love, giving is easy when you love. And I'm not just talking about money today. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your talent. I'm talking about your prayer life. I'm talking about how we can sacrifice us for other people. And it also reminds you of this, it's good for us in this. It reminds us what joy is all about. Joy is all about other people. Some of the greatest joy, I appreciate the Sunday school lesson so much. The joy when someone you've been witnessing to accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. What a joy that is.
Amen.
What an exciting time that is. You know, there's a young man that was visiting our Sunday school class, and young single guy, and he was sitting in our class week after week. And then, you know, I was praying for him. He wasn't, you know, I could tell he's listening. He was all ears, but he wasn't there. We were studying, and then I asked him, would he do a Bible study with me? And me and him are going through the Bible and studying salvation and what salvation was. And then one day, in the lesson, he stopped me and said, I need this.
Amen.
Man, what a joy.
Yes. Amen.
When you see God work in a young man's life.
Amen.
He's not been saved that long. And I ask you to pray for him. His name's Jeff. Pray, don't quit. And he keeps going with the Lord and keeps growing in the things of God. But man, when someone gets saved, it ought to thrill your heart.
Yeah. Amen.
There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels. By the way, you know why they rejoice? Because it's settled. That's a great verse for eternal security. If it wasn't settled, they'd wait till you made it. Amen? I mean, can you imagine just with your life? There'd be a lot of, yay, oh, yeah, right? But the day you repented and trusted in Jesus Christ, there was joy, rejoicing. Why? Because it's settled. And you and I, when we invest and love the stranger, we're reminded what joy is all about. You know those, whenever you read these letters and see these updates, and you read about people that accept Christ and get saved, you see people like Respect, and our church prays for Respect. You know, and you hear about him and his growth, and he goes and shares the gospel with those churches that had never heard a gospel like this, right? And they hear this message, and you pray for these. You know what? When you hear this message and you hear these reports, those who have invested in the stranger, you find joy. Those who have been sitting on the sidelines, it's not a big deal to you. You look around and you see some people sitting on their edge of their seat saying, woo! Isn't that wonderful? You think, what got into them? They've been loving strangers. They've been loving strangers. So you see the meaning, you see the motivation. Let me give you number three, the mandate. Simple point, but in verse number 12, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Jump down to verse number 19. Love ye therefore the stranger. Church, I'm not telling you something that you ought to think about doing. I'm not telling you something that might be good for you. I'm telling you something that is a command from the Word of God. That if you don't, you're sinning. If you don't love the stranger, and I'm talking about a New Testament stranger here, those who without hope, without a knowledge of God, that is our great commission. That is why we are here. And to say no to that is sin. Because you're disobeying what God told us to do.
Right.
The Lord requires us as believers to love the stranger. It is a mandate. But I close with this thought and last. The means of loving the stranger. The means. Look in verse number 16 in the same chapter. Verse number 16 says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. If you're going to love the stranger, number one, it will require a change of heart. Because our flesh, we love ourselves. The Bible nowhere had to encourage us to love ourselves because we all do. Matter of fact, to get our attention as husbands in Ephesians chapter number 5, to tell us men how we should love our wives, it says, as your own selves. That's what the Bible says. Because we get that. Because we know how to love ourselves. We know how to take care of ourselves. That comes natural to us. And if we're going to love other people, we need to have a change of heart. And if you so far this week, you have no interest in getting involved in loving the stranger, if you have very little motivation in your life to invest in the lives of lost people without hope, if that hasn't motivated you today, you ought to fall on your knees this morning and say, God, change my heart.
Amen.
Give me a heart for souls today. How long has it been? I know we're talking about missions, but since you wept for that co-worker? How long has it been since you wept for that grandchild that's not saved? For that spouse, for that child that has wandered away from God? Ask God to change your heart today. You know what gets in the way of us loving the stranger? Our own rotten flesh. We love ourselves and the desires of our flesh that it blinds us to the needs of other people, and we need God to circumcise our hearts this morning. To remove the flesh from our heart. To remove it from our thinking that we might see others as God sees them. As strangers without hope. The means is that it requires a change of heart, and secondly, it requires a care like your own household. What do you mean by that? Turn back and we're done in Leviticus chapter number 19. In Leviticus chapter number 19. If we're going to love the stranger properly and biblically, we need to love them like we do in our own house. In Leviticus chapter number 19, look with me in verse number 33. Leviticus 19 and verse number 33. The Word of God says this. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. The Bible instructs Israel how to love the stranger. And I think we take this principle and we put it with us loving the stranger. What's the Bible say there? That we are to love them and they should be as to us as one born in our own house. So what does that mean, preacher? Well, I'll give you an idea. My daughter came to me not long ago and she said, Dad, look. You can see my toe through the bottom of my shoe. That's not a good thing, right? And she was laughing. I said, Daddy will get you a pair of shoes. And I got my daughter a pair of shoes. Now, it was not, you know, Brother Roland Hammond's job to get my daughter shoes. That's my daughter's job. My job to get my daughter shoes. It's not my daughter's job yet. But it's my responsibility. You know why? Because she was born in my household. And when I see that my children have a need, I will do my absolute best to take care of that need. Because they're born in my household. Make sense? If my daughter's sick, and my daughter, she had that surgery last year. You know, and there's nothing worse than a dad having to watch his daughter, you know, go through a physical trial. And I hated it. And if I could have done it for her, I would have. But you understand, you have a heart and a love and a burden, and you're willing to do whatever it takes to take care of your household. Now, church, how do I love the stranger in the same way? If we know there's a need, then we take what God's given us and we do our best to meet that need. If we see there is a cause, you say, well, you know, I've never met that person. You're to love the stranger as one born in your own household. So what God has given me, I will use to take care of my family. And what God has given to us as churches and as individuals, we should love the stranger enough to say, I'm willing to use what God has given me to meet the needs of the stranger.
Amen.
to love them, to sacrifice. The Bible goes on in that verse to say, as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. Look at their needs this morning. Before you turn in this faith promise card, stop and bow the knee this morning and say, God, give me a heart for the stranger. Now show me what you've given me, what I can do to love the stranger, and to take care of the stranger, provide for the stranger. Why? Because you were strangers. Because someone loved you when you were a stranger. And it's good for us to love the stranger. God commanded us to love the stranger. And to say no is sin. And friend, if you're here today, I promise you this, I love you. And if you're here and you are not saved, you have not trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you are a stranger. But even worse, you are without hope, knowing not God in this world. He that believeth is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. But here's the good news. You don't have to leave a stranger. You can leave this place today of the household of faith.
Amen.
Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that heaven is your home. Would you bow your heads with me, please, this morning? An invitation will be given this morning. An invitation, one, friend, if you do not know that you are going to heaven, would you please today allow someone to take the Word of God and show you how to be saved? May you today fall on your knees. And then that repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in Him as your Savior today. That you no longer be a stranger without hope. And to every believer this morning, child of God, member Lehigh Valley Baptist Church, do you love the stranger? Do you love the stranger? If you need God to revive your heart, if you need God to stir the embers of your heart to love that stranger today, please come. Say, God, change me. Help me to love the stranger like never before. Do not dare to turn in a faith promise card today without first having said, God, help me love the stranger. Father, take this invitation, use it for your glory. Help us to love the stranger. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And perhaps God has spoken to your heart this morning through the preaching of the Word of God. We're going to have the invitation hymn being played just now. Make me a blessing. We want God to use us to bless others. The invitation is open. If you'd like to come and talk to the Lord, you can come here and kneel at the front. You can do business with God there in your seat. If you need some help from the Scriptures, you come and let me know that you need to talk with somebody. We'd be glad to answer your questions. But this morning, you be sensitive and obedient to what the Lord has laid on your heart today.